think the Lord, I know the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me first for the Highway 150 corridor, which we met, was it Tuesday night? Yeah. But it applies to our church just every bit as much, and it's just a short word of prophecy or direction he spoke to me. But just, Lord God, let us hear the word of God. Let it be true. Let nothing come forth that's from me. Lord, let everything be from your spirit, Jesus. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive the good word of God. Thank you for living bread, fresh bread, Jesus. Thank you for what you did this morning. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the passion, Lord, that you're pouring out on your people. Thank you for bringing in folks, God. Just thank you so much. We give you thanks. We couldn't do it, but Lord, you can do all things well. And thank you, Lord. But I just wrote, the Holy Spirit showed me that our church is made up of many streams. And you translated many giftings. God has given some people organization. God has given some people mercy. God has given some people hospitality. You know, we only tend to look at the words of wisdom, words of knowledge, apostles, prophets, past, you know, but it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. And I think a lot of times people in the body go, well, I'm just a, there's some scripture for that too, but our church is made up of many streams, but God's plan, this is God's plan. This is what he wants to do. That doesn't say it's a lock. That's what he wants to do if we'll cooperate with him. And I can't tell you I've got a detailed plan on how to do this, but he was showing me this morning when I came in some things that he wants to refine us. He wants to refine us. He's not displeased with us. He's not mad at us, but he wants us to go deeper. And we call out for revival, 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 revival all the time. We are always constantly calling out. I will never stop calling out for revival. And now that I've got a dog named Revival, every time I go out to get her, she's real stubborn. Revival! Revival, come! I know that's the reason God did that. The neighbors are going, what is this? But anyway, God's plans are to merge all these streams, right? Say, I'm a stream.
I'm a stream.
Need to know what kind of stream I am. Say it. I need to know what kind of stream I am. Okay. He showed me when God plans to merge these streams into a raging river. You get a lot of streams come together. When we have all this rain upstream, what happens? The Ohio River, didn't it go flood stage a little bit here in the last couple weeks? That's what God wants, flood stage. Flood stage wipes out all the stuff that don't need to be there. It carries away everything. You see logs in the river. You'll see refrigerators. You'll see all kinds of trash in the river when it comes up. So God wants to clean out his church. And he showed me this for the Highway 150 corridor. What he wants to do, he showed me the 150 corridor is made up of many wonderful streams. Say streams.
Streams.
Say churches.
Churches.
Churches are streams. That don't make sense. You think, well, we got it all together here. No, don't be so foolish. Please don't be foolish. I've come to know that we need them more than they need us. But that's okay. God has a plan and a purpose. He showed me the 150 corridor is made up of many wonderful streams that, when merged together, become a mighty, raging river. And that's what God wants to do in this one. He wants a raging. When you pull out here at Buttontown Road in 150, you should look and see it as a raging river. You should see it as the fire of God and the fire revival. And it goes from, man, you know how big this thing is. It goes from Mount Vernon, Kentucky to Quad Cities, Iowa. 535 miles of two-lane road going through the heart of America, cornfields, and most of it's out in the wilderness, you know. God is stirring up things. He's going to bring people in from other places here. I don't know. It's like, really? Donna and I, we went to Brownsville several times. But we decided we was going to go to Smithton, Missouri. Did you ever hear of Smithton, Missouri? We went there. And they went to a revival meeting, and the pastor was ready to quit. The staff, they couldn't pay him. Everybody was quitting. They was going to throw a shovel of dirt in, and that church was going to be history. They went to the revival. They come back. He said, I didn't feel nothing. Nothing changed. And they said, what happened? It was on a Sunday night, I think. He just got in. He said, I don't know. And everybody in the church fell out in the spirit. People came from, and we went there. This is a town no bigger than Greenville. No businesses. It was a little white, looked like it used to be a Methodist. It looked a lot like the Methodist church right here in Greenville. And they'd added a gym and everything on. People were coming there from all over the world. It was amazing what God was doing there. So I think they moved to Kansas City, Kansas, or Independence, Missouri. Okay, I knew they were still in existence, but anyway. Really? Don't look at small beginnings, because God can take something, and not that we have to be big, but my whole purpose for being big is to see souls. Yes. I want to see souls come in and get right with God and go to heaven, yes. Not be on their deathbed on their way to hell. And praise God, I do. I want you to know I fully believe in deathbed conversions, because I led my aunt to the Lord on her deathbed. She couldn't talk. It's like, squeeze my hand once. If it's yes, she would. I say, okay, we got communications. She squeezed my hand once. I said, why don't you get, do you want to get right with God? Because I'd preached to her many times, and she didn't want nothing to do with it. She squeezed my hand twice. No. I said, come on, Hazel. I said, it's getting close, girl. You know, it really is. And then God gave me this word that God can forgive you for anything. And she goes, no. I said, even murder. And she jerked. And I knew that she had an abortion. I said, God can forgive you for that, Hazel. She saw. And then I said, do you want to receive Jesus and be forgiven? She goes, yes. And she did. And I'll see Aunt Hazel in heaven. Yes. Praise God. And first thing I'm going to say is, why did you wait so long, you know? But that's okay. The thief on the cross got saved at the last second. But if you're thinking about waiting until the last second, which is what I did, I said, yeah, I grew up in church. I said, yeah. When I turn about 80 years old, I'm going to come to the Lord after I get all my partying out, and there's no fun to have anyway. I'm no fun anymore. Wasn't that arrogant? You know how long you're promised? Zero. You're not promised another breath. God is so merciful and so good to us, isn't he? Yep, praise God. You just keep on, sister. I like encouragement. It's like cheerleaders. Yeah. Say, come on, preach it. Bring it out, brother.
Praise the Lord.
I want to read you Ezekiel 47 just a little bit. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water. 47. I may have told you wrong. Oh, I didn't tell you nothing? Sorry about that. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out of the north gate and led me around outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. When the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles. So a cubit is what, 18 inches? So he took me out 1,500 feet. And I'm going to paraphrase all this, so don't tell me if I'm wrong. It's okay. I know pretty much what it says. There was water flowing up to his ankles. So he goes out 1,500 feet. He goes, oh, he didn't say this now, but oh, that's pretty cool. I think I'll go out another 1,500 feet. It's up to his waist. He said, well, it's not so bad. I think I'll go out another 1,500 feet. It's up to his chest. He said, I'm going to go out another 1,500 feet, and it was a river for swimming. There was no way to just do your own thing anymore. It was just you being carried away by the river. Amen? And the very end of this, I want to read the very, because it said we'll become a river, right? That's what that word said. Okay, go to verse 9. And it shall be that everything, every living thing that moves wherever the river goes, say, will live. Will live. There will be a great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live where the river goes. And listen to this in John 7. I'm not going to give you time to turn there. John 7, 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, say, I'm thirsty. Let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, listen, as what? As the scripture says. He who believes in Jesus said, he who believes in me, how does he believe in Jesus? He believes in Jesus the way the scripture said. Jesus said he's the Son of God, the Messiah. He's the Holy One of Israel. He fulfilled all the prophecies in the Old Testament. He fulfilled everything of his first coming, right? Yes. Yes. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his, and this says heart, but out of his belly. Out of his belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. So every one of y'all that are born again got a river in here. But it looks like a stream. When we put them all together, I'm telling you, it'll be a raging, mighty. You were a river of life, Jerry. That was a river of life that come up to that girl. That was a river of hope.
Yes.
Who else? Who else? That was a river of life for, I don't even know it, Steve? That was a river of life for Steve. Was probably experiencing the buffeting of demons in hell. Probably. Unless he'd made things right before. Who knows? But he heard the truth and he had an opportunity to repent. And I just got to say something, brother. I love them new boots. No. They look like my line boots used to look at the phone company. And I used to love getting a new pair of boots. You know why? Because when you put them climbers on, you couldn't even feel the pole anymore. It was like, whoa, this is so nice. The first thing they would do when you wore new ones in, they'd put their dirty feet and grind them on there and say, new boots. I don't know what brought that up. What kind are they? Carolinas. They are line boots, aren't they? I knew they were line boots. Why would anybody wear line boots? Because they are, say, cool. Because mine used to go up to here. Where do them go? Are they tall ones or? Ah, they're not 16 inch, but they're 11 or 12. Lord bless you. I'm not trying to. I'm jealous. It's always got red wings, but you know, I worked with them, so. Okay, this is what the Lord is telling us. We need to get together and talk about this. We need a luncheon. Next Sunday, listen, if you're interested in what God wants to raise you up to do, you can have free lunch. If you're not interested in what God wants you to do, you can clean up the dishes and stuff and the floor. So that's pretty fair, isn't it? No, really. I think, can we pull something off next?
Oh, yeah, we can do something.
That'd be no problem. Chicken. Or pizza. How about pizza? No, wait. How many's on low carbs? We'll come up with something. You don't have to bring nothing but yourself. How's that? Make plans. Make plans to be here if you... I'm not saying you're going to get a locked-in position next Sunday, but we'll start seeing what we got to work with, okay? We got a lot to work with, and Jenny said something. I felt bad all week. I was sick from Tuesday through the week, and I told her, I said, I used to wear them things and go to work when I felt like this, and you know, I'm like, what's wrong with you, wimp boy? She said, you got to rest now. No, she didn't say that. I did. And it's like, you got to rest some. And that's true. You do have to rest some. So anyway, next Sunday, kickoff. Should we name it? Let's see if we can give it a theme. No, let's not. Matthew 24. Don't mess it up with a theme. Yeah. Matthew 24, which I'm sure most of y'all know by heart. Donna, tell me. Donna told me that she brought, we have not talked, please. We were in rooms with soundproof rooms this week.
What?
Didn't the Lord show you something, Matthew 24?
Oh, 25.
Yeah. Well, I'm going there too.
Yeah, well, it was just... I asked Mark this morning, I never usually ask him what he's going to preach on. But this morning I said, well, you haven't had much time to get anything this week yet. And he said, yeah, I've been spending time. I've been spending time in the bed with the Lord. You know, he's been speaking to me. So anyway, he said he's going to, I was on Matthew 24 and 25. I said, well, that's interesting. I said, at prayer Wednesday night, before we prayed, we read Matthew 25, the first, I forget how many verses, 1 through 10 or something, the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. And I said, well, I need to let everybody from that came Wednesday night know that we didn't conspire this together. It was the Lord.
God conspires things. It's so neat the way he does that. 24, verse 1. Listen. It's going to be a lot of reading, but this is very, very, very exciting stuff to me. It's very exciting. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? In other words, all these buildings and things you're looking at? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. They're looking at this massive temple and the walls of it you could probably ride a chariot on, okay? This is, for this thing to fall, that's ridiculous. Surely he was saying something, what's the word for it? When you're comparing something to something. They were probably thinking this is not really what's going to happen. This is a parable or something. Do you know in 70 AD, it was leveled, and they run plows across the ground. It was so leveled. So this prophetic word happened 70 years after Jesus, which would have made it what? Cipher for me. Would have made it 33 minus 33 anyway. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, and I want to talk about the Mount of Olives for just a second. Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity, but the remnant of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth. Say, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two. Isn't that something? Going to be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. So when Jesus returns to stop Armageddon or whatever you want to call it, bam, he's going to come out of the sky. Now, if you believe in rapture, I believe that's happened and we've already gone with him. But I don't care what you believe. It's still amazing. He's going to come down and rescue his people, Israel. And he's going to do it real stylishly. He's going to go wham. He's going to sit down on a mountain and he's going to bam, split in half. You don't split mountains in half if you're just a regular Messiah or just a regular fake evangelist. No, it's going to be the real deal. And then back to sorry, I got so much here. I'm going to pick up. I'm going to pick back up with Matthew 24. Yeah, what verse is it? Four? The disciples say, tell us, when will these things be? When's this going to happen, Jesus? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? You know, notice it don't say the end of the world, because the world's never going to end. The world's never going to end. It's going to get burnt up and reformed and all the pollution of Satan and everything that we've messed up here. Everything's going to get burnt up and he's going to start all over again. What's that? Oh, praise God. What'd you say? What'd you say, honey? Absolutely. Praise God. I like that. New heaven and a new earth. For old things have passed away. Behold. Say it. All. Say it. All things have passed. All things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm sorry. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed. In other words, you listen to this very closely. Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name. How many?
Many.
Many will come in the name of Jesus, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. My Lord, the cults are multiplying like popcorn. It's really, it's getting very, there's always been cults around, but it is multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. You know, if you're a flat earther, man, I'm sorry for you, but there's people that believe the earth's flat. I mean, smart people. I haven't offended anybody, have I? Columbus figured that out. Some of y'all looking at me like, there really ain't. No, I'm talking smart kids.
Well, they're so smart they got members all around the globe.
I'm telling you. And look, that's insanity. You know, that's just insanity. But it's the spirit of this age. You know, it's a spirit of rebellion. Because God created all things. He made things just the only way they can work. Anyway, so many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Heard any wars or rumors of wars? Lots of rumors of wars floating around right now. What? Iran with us. Iran, North Korea, China, Russia. I mean, there's rumors of this going all around. They haven't taken place, praise God. See that you are not troubled. Don't get stressed. Don't get worried. Don't watch the news and go, oh, what are we going to do? Shut up, man. Just listen to the Lord. He will take care of us, man. He will take care of us. See that you are not troubled, for all, say, all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, which is ethnos, which means ethnic group will rise against ethnic group. Black people will rise against white people. White people against black people. You know, just different religions, different. And you know, if you noticed in America, it's polarized, man. I mean, everybody is against everybody. Everybody's got a beef with something, right? I mean, there's not much unity, right? Well, if yeah, on your side there is. Yeah. And there will be famines. Let me tell you, did y'all see 700 Club last week? Did anybody see it? There is a locust plague going across Africa. Man, it is, if you ever seen, I remember watching Tarzan movies. They would have locust plagues moving across. Locust, really, to me, it's a flying grasshopper. If you ever seen them in some time of year, they said these things can eat what 37,000 people can eat in one day. And it said they're going across, and these people out here with pans and they're beating stuff, just trying to get them off their crops, because when they go across, it's like, what's the verse that says it's beautiful before them, and when they go by, it's a land of waste. That's from, where's that at? I can't remember where it's at. Amos, not Amos. They rush on the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. I believe it comes from a locust army. And they talk about how it just eats up everything. And it's amazing. And the thing is it's headed towards China. And they said by June, these things can multiply by 500. And I'm not, Lord God, spare these people. They said 1 billion people can starve to death from this. 1 billion people. Not saying that's got to happen. I'm just saying that's the kind of biblical plagues you're talking about happening right now. So we got to be getting close to. And pestilence, coronavirus. There's always been diseases. There's always been flu. But now, whether these things are chemically engineered, which I kind of think they might be, because did you notice that the coronavirus mainly brings death to people 60 years and older. So you could see it would be beneficial to loose them on your population if you could get rid of your old people that aren't productive anymore. Now, I'm productive, and I'm over 60, but, you know, you may not be, you know. It's like abortion. It's like, oh, you're no good for anything because you can't produce anything. So see how things like that multiply. What was it they said? I can't remember the saying. I don't want to butcher, but it was when they came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because it didn't hurt me. When they came for, do you remember that? Finally, it said, but when they came for me, there was nobody left to stand for me. We got to take a stand for righteousness, man. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You look it up. You can search that and find who said it. And earthquakes in various places. There's always been earthquakes. There was one that made the Mississippi River run backward back in Real Foot Lake, what year was that? 1811. You weren't there, were you? 1811. Wow, I thought you was younger than that. No, that's good. But this was a massive earthquake, and they say if it happened now, St. Louis would be gone, probably Louisville would be gone, probably all these cities that are built. There was no cities. There were just cabins. And it said the animals started coming into the cities to just because they didn't know what was getting ready to happen, but they knew something was getting ready to happen. So that was a huge earthquake. I don't know on the Richter scale what it was, but it was potent. But if you look at the major earthquakes, if you look, they have increased and increased and increased and increased since the 40s. They have just, it's not that we haven't always had earthquakes, but it said it'll be like birth pains. They will get closer together and stronger, just like birth pains. That's what we're seeing. It says all these are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many, say many,
many.
Most will be offended. And I heard John Bevere teach on this one time, and he called offense the word scallion, and it means it's the same word that's used to define a snare. Have y'all ever seen a snare? My uncle used to make them and catch rabbits with them, but they pull a tree limb down, and they'd had a loop in the rope, and they had a, what do you call it, a trigger. They would put bait on there, and when that animal, whatever it is, gets in there, when it took this bait, which was something it wanted, it would grab it by the leg and hang it by its feet. So that's what happens. People are entrapped. It doesn't, the snare doesn't kill you usually, but you're trapped and you're just waiting for the hunter, or the Satan goes to and fro seeing who he can devour. So it's the same thing. He's hunting for you. He knows you. He knows you way better than yourself. He knows what pulls your string. He knows what tempts you. He's a devourer. He's a snarer. But it said many will be offended, and that offense is like a snare. And then after you're offended, you betray people. When you're offended, you betray other people. You're an offense to other people. And then they will hate one another, and many false prophets will rise up. When people in the church start hating each other and disagreeing with each other and getting upset about things that really don't matter, then you don't have that unity anymore. And that's what I see happening in this revival. I see a Methodist church, a Baptist church, blah, 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 fill in the blank, non-denominational, interdenominational. They will come together, all those who want to. And there's going to be power in that. Lawlessness will abound. What's lawlessness? You live in it, dude. You're surrounded by it. Lawlessness will abound, and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And it goes on and talks about the great tribulation, and I'm not going to read all this, but you need to read it. It's some wonderful reading. Verse 32, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not, no means pass away. In other words, the fig tree almost always represents Israel, always represents the Jewish people. And they believe when this generation will not pass away until they've seen all these things come to pass, they believe the generation that was alive when the Jews came back together. Did you know the Jews were scattered all over the planet? They didn't have a homeland. They didn't have a city. People hated them. World War II, they killed how many? 6 million of them. Hitler, possessed by the devil, wanted to wipe them off the planet. And almost, if it hadn't been for, say, praise God for America. Praise God for America. God used America, praise God. Did he not? So I believe that's why God has given us so much grace and time to repent. Because he wants to use us, spread the gospel all over the world. I mean, all the things he wants to do. But when you see, when its branches become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. And anyway, heaven and the part there that says, surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Well, a generation's what? Some people say 40 years. Some people say 50, 60 years. When did that happen? 1948, was it? 1948, they became a nation. In 1967, they I know they won the Six-Day War. 67's when that happened. You know, that's interesting, 67. Isn't that weird? 67, they defeated the enemy. What else happened in 67 here in America? It's the summer of love, man. Everybody, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's like the enemy was bam, 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 wanting to stop that from happening. But if you figure it was 1948, 58, 68, 78, see, I got to do Chisholm Bob. 58, 68, 78, 88, 98, 2008, ooh. I don't reckon all that generation's passed away yet. Some of y'all were, how many of y'all were living in 48? I wasn't until 53. And you love Israel. You love Israel, don't you? Isn't that amazing? Who else? Anybody else? Well, y'all are going to live till it happens then, right? That's what I'm believing. This generation will not pass away till they see all these things come to pass. I'm making that prophecy. No, I can't call your expiration date. No, I can't do that. That would be wrong. Verse 36, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. Let's go to 25. I got to get through real quick. So he told the parable of the virgins right after, what are things going to be like right before I return? Not as a Bible scholar, that's a fact. Do you believe we're close? Seems like it. No, I'm not calling no dates or nothing, but when I came to the Lord, I came because of Bible prophecy. That's what drew me to the Bible and the Lord. And when I started looking at the world and the newspaper and what things that were going on, I thought, oh, man, it's here. Every day I would think, he's coming today. If you don't watch it, you'll let that get. He says, look for my coming. He told the church how long ago? Hell, man, figure it up, 2,000-something years. I remember when I was younger, it was like he's been gone almost 2,000 years, and now he's been gone 2,000-something years. So let's read this parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Said they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. How many of y'all ever dealt with an oil lamp? Probably not too many. Or a kerosene lantern. Every now and then, you got to take a pair of scissors and that wick. Well, I guess, what do you call it? A wick, I guess. You got to trim it every now and then, or the flame gets, you got to keep it at the right height or it doesn't work right. So they trim their wicks. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in and with him in the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That's a sobering word, isn't it? I can think of another place that happened. Remember in Matthew 24, it said, as the days of Noah were? Isn't it interesting? He built the ark for 120 years, and no doubt the people asked him what he was doing. And he probably preached to them, there's room in the ark for you. If you just... Then it said, when all the animals were paraded in, by who? The Holy Spirit. He drew those animals in. Praise God. And after it was full, it said they all went in, and it said, God shut the door. And they, no doubt, were hollering, Noah, let us in. They were beating on the door. They were beating the ark. You could hear them out there. They were screaming because the floodwaters were rising. They were holding on to the side of it. They were doing anything they could to stay out of the water. Noah would have let them in probably. God shut the door. When God shuts the door, it's shut. That's sobering. And no doubt, you know, I don't know what year it was, in the 80s when everybody had baby showers, and I'm not against this if you had one. Baby showers all had a little Noah's Ark, right? They had the windows open, which there wasn't no windows. There was a flap at the top. But they all had pictures of these animals and elephants and lions and stuff be going, this is fun, fun, fun. Didn't talk about the dead bodies beating up against the ark. It was a flood of judgment, and it was a flood of grace for those who obeyed the Lord. So again, that last verse I'm going to read, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He said, be ready. Have your wicks trimmed. Have your lamp full. And oil represents the Holy Spirit. You need to go get the Holy Spirit on your own. It's nothing you can earn. It's spending time with God. You will get more of the Holy Spirit. You will get more anointing. And praise God. Praise God for outreaches. Praise God for Kansas City. Praise God for Brownsville. Praise God for Canada. Help me, Jesus. Toronto. Praise God. I got in line, and me and Donna, we was in the floor for like every chance we got more, and we got an anointing. But you know what? You can't keep that. It fades away. Just like when Moses got the glow on him. They covered him up so they wouldn't see it fade. It always fades away. Say it always fades away. You gotta get your wick trimmed, and you gotta fill your own lamp up, and you gotta do it. But first you gotta start out. And how you start out is you say, I am a sinner. I'm lost without you. I need you to forgive me. And you think, how could God forgive me for all that? Well, I tell you, he can forgive you for anything. Amen. Praise God. And that's where you start. And after that, you start getting your lamp filled. Yeah. But, you know, Jesus could come back at any time. But your heart could stop at any time. I just always told Donna, I thought it was really cool because we never bought a funeral plot. Somebody said, aren't you kind of concerned? I said, oh, you'll take care of it. My son will take care of it. That'll be his problem. Oh, that's so mean. Well, he's getting all my money. I mean, you know, what's the problem with that? Why would I want to spend money on a funeral plot that I'm not going to use? I'm still believing I'm going to fly out of here. But anyway, everybody stand up. I know that was a bit long, but I've been bottled up all week. And give me a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord.
So everybody close your eyes. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for bringing all these wonderful folks in here today, God. I thank you for bringing them here. I thank you for your word. I thank you we can rely on it. I thank you it's always true. It never fades away. You always do what you said you would do, Lord. So the word of God in John chapter 3 says, unless a man or a woman, I put woman in there, but that's what man means. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It says, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth, he's risen from the dead. If you desire to follow him, if you desire to repent of your sins, which means I'm going this way, I know the way I'm living is junk. I know the way I'm living leads to death. If you figure that out right now, if you feel that speaking in your heart right now, in Jesus' name, you can get off that train. You can get off that path. You can let those things fade away. I can't quit. You can't quit. You're right. But your Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit, will allow you to quit. So do you know him? I'm asking you, do you know him? Not do you know about him? Do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Do you praise him through the day? Do you wake up in the morning with him in your heart? Do you?
Yes.
You do. Praise God. That's new life. That's the way it ought to stay. But sometimes we get... So if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've given your life to Jesus and took it back, God is waiting here for you. God, he'll meet you. You need to come to this altar. You need to make it public. Not so you can join this church, because everything I know about this church, the bylaws, we don't even have a membership role. So you had to go somewhere else if you want to join a church. Excuse me. No, really. Listen. This always struck me. Steve Hill says, you can go to hell with baptismal waters running down your face. You can go to hell with a card in your pocket, which I got. We used to have one. It said, ordained pastor. You can go to hell teaching Sunday school. You can go to hell showing up at church every week. You can go to hell doing great things for people. You can go to hell by raising people from the dead. You can only go to heaven by a relationship with Jesus, because he loves you and he has a plan for your life. So don't deny that, man. God wants to heal you and save you and deliver you this morning. So if that's you right now, come on, right now in Jesus' name. If that's you, just walk on up here. Come on up here. Come on up here. Let Jesus change you. Let Jesus wash you in his blood. Jesus, 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 there's just something about your name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Why don't you do one more thing? It's hard to take a stand sometimes. It really is. But God is good. He's given us, sometimes he's even given us some helpers. So what I want you to do when I say, don't do it till I say, but I want you to the person to your left and to your right, I want you to just ask them, do you need Jesus to forgive you? If the answer is yes, I want you to take their hand and walk up here with them. Walk up here with them. Stand with them. So right now, I want everybody in the church to ask. Pastor gets asked, everybody gets asked. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else, man, there's room at the cross for you. Amen. Amen.